Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode on my Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. I am really excited to bring you today's episode all about toilet training. And I know this is a really important topic that so many of you are going to be interested in. To talk about toilet training today, I am interviewing Dawn Ellis from Cultivating Exceptional Minds. Dawn is a special education preschool teacher, but she also has degrees to teach students of a higher age as well. This interview is fantastic for really helping you understand when to start toilet training, how to set it up, and how to be successful with it as well. So, without further ado, let me introduce you all to Dawn. Welcome to the podcast today, Dawn. I'm so excited to have you here and talk about all things toilet training. Before we start, could you just let my audience know who you are and what you do?
Hey there, I'm glad to be here. My name is Dawn Ellis from Cultivating Exceptional Minds. I live in Alabama in the United States. I am a special ed preschool teacher, but also have degrees 1 through 6 years old and currently working on my national boards.
Brilliant. That is a great age to work with as well. I love that young age where they're sort of exploring and growing through all different ways as well.
Yes, we see so much growth in these few years that we have them. It's a fun age.
It really is. And that early intervention as well, it's nice to see them achieve what people think are little goals, but to us are huge goals.
That's right. In all the developmental domains.
Definitely. And their little personalities coming out as well.
For sure. Communication and socially, see lots of growth and development throughout the year.
Definitely. It's a lovely age, but one of the big things with this age and what we're talking about today is toilet training.
Yes, let's talk about it.
So it's definitely a fun subject to talk about, but it's a really important one as well, especially for those of us in the classroom and working with families as well.
That's right. So toilet training is one of those things in our adapted area that a lot of the students come in to focus on. So toileting goals to work on throughout the year during the time that they're with us, but also translate it or communicate it with home as well so that parents can be working on it in the same type of steps to kind of bridge that gap of home and school.
Definitely. It's one of those things where communication is definitely key between all parties. The main thing that I hear from mainly teachers who get in touch with me a lot and sometimes parents as well, are that they are nervous about toilet training. What would you say to help them feel a little bit more relaxed and that it's not as scary as sometimes we think it is?
Right. Well, I think that some of the things to look at as far as potty training basics before getting started is just making sure that the child can stay dry for a period of time, hopefully up to like 2 hours, and that they are exposed to a toileting pattern frequently going, and that toileting or the toilet is something that is in a negative environment, and then just exposing them to the vocabulary of the items in the bathroom and just being able to follow those one-step directions. And I think that another big component is just introducing a lot of visuals of what to expect and kind of the different steps that they need to follow, both getting them familiarized inside of the bathroom, but also when they're not in the bathroom, just as general conversation to get the thought process started.
There's so many great tips that you just shared there. I especially love how you say about working on the vocabulary of things in the bathroom and toilet training. And I think that's something a lot of people may overlook, but that's definitely a really important step to include.
Absolutely. So just things like knowing what toilet paper is or where the button to flush is, or, you know, the toilet seat, how that function is, or the steps of hand washing. Those types of things, both having a visual and having an understanding of what is in the bathroom and their function, really helps to lay a foundation for a positive experience.
Definitely. That sounds fantastic. And all those things, I think a lot of us maybe assume that our children know what a toilet is, know what toilet paper is, but it's wrong of us really to assume those things when they've never been taught about them. But by providing that vocabulary, we're helping them. And also visuals as well. I think sometimes we forget that we can use visuals in the bathroom and doing toilet training as well.
Right. So we have communicated with our parents and use in our classrooms at the school that I work at, just kind of 7 steps to go over and have lots of different activities dealing with the 7 steps of going to the bathroom, from walking to the bathroom to sitting on the toilet all the way to washing their hands, to where they know from start to finish what the expectations are. And I really think that the visual concept of having both the pictures and the words and the auditory help with potty training, whether you are a special education teacher or a parent of any kind. So
definitely, like you say, all these things can be applied to everyone who's toilet training, not just us in the sort of special education field as well.
Right. I feel like recently I have a 2-year-old at home, and some of these things we tried with him as well. And so it was interesting to see and to just try it out with him as well, these different steps. And it doesn't matter if a child has special needs or not. I feel like visuals can help either way in the process and just building that foundation, especially with the vocabulary. And then I know even with my son and my kids at school, we also use visual charts. I do void into the toilet to work towards and get prizes, to where they're having their behavior positively reinforced as well. We're also like taking some data, whether it's at home or at school, to where the kid and the adult, whether it's the parent or the teacher, can keep track of what's going on.
I love that, and all the communicating that's going on as well. And I'm sure all your experience of toilet training in school was very helpful for you at home with your child as well.
It was. It's been a pretty positive experience, and I'm very thankful for it. So
that is great. I'm so glad it went so well for you. Now, piggybacking on the back of that, when do you think you should start toilet training? How do you know now is the right time for us to start?
Well, I think that knowing when to start, just those foundational keys of just being able to stay dry for a period of time and having that vocabulary foundation, and also being able just to follow those one-step directions, are all things that help know that it's time. But also just having the actual time to invest into this process. It's not going to be, you know, just an hour investment. It does take a few days or even weeks of constant pursuit of working on this objective. You know, sometimes we even call it potty training boot camp, to where that is our main focus for a week. And every 45 minutes to an hour, the kid is attempting to void into the toilet, to where they're on a routine as well. And I think that truly dedicating some time is one of those things that needs to be a priority when deciding when to potty train.
Those are all really great tips for sharing with everyone as well. And I know time is a huge thing. I think it's really great to try and start potty training and toilet training when everyone has time. So not when you have, you know, a 3-week vacation coming up, or when you're in the middle of Christmas concerts and activities. I think timing is really key to making it successful and less stressful as well.
Correct. I think that making a weekend to where you are not even on your cellular devices or, you know, cell phones or computers, and you're truly just spending time with that child, is an important key for those first few days as well.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that. And all those tips you gave, one of the main questions I get are from families or teachers who write to me saying that they think their children or students are too old now, or they should be toilet training now. But like you say, all the signs you've just given for when we should start toilet training, not one of them is linked to an age. You know, there's not when you're 3 years old, you're ready. When you're 2 years old, you're ready. It's all the different signs that we have to look for individually with our students and children.
Very true. I think that it isn't necessarily an age, and sometimes it is just exposing them and being persistent with them. But I also have had some older kids. I previously, before I started working as a preschool teacher, was a life skills teacher in the upper elementary setting for third through fifth grade, and I had kids that were not toilet trained. And so that's when we would actually expose them to different tactile activities to expose them to the different steps, but that were more age appropriate than things that we would do with 3 and 4 year olds, to where we would have cue cards and have task cards that they can be exposed to the pictures and determine what step that is, and to even Velcro the step to the picture, to where they are being exposed to the steps both in the classroom and in the restroom for more success.
I love that, and especially how you've made it more age appropriate for them, and you're helping to ease them into that toilet training rather than just guiding them straight into the toilet one day and starting it now. You're helping to prepare them.
Right. We want it to be a positive experience, and if it is more on their level and they don't feel like it is beneath them, I feel like more success can happen.
Definitely. And I think the bathroom can be quite a scary place for some of our students, regardless of age, but maybe even more so for those older students who haven't been exposed to going in there, using the toilet, using the potty. So all those ways will help prepare them and feel more comfortable in there. But do you think there's any other tips that people can try to help make them more comfortable when they go to the toilet or the potty, especially for the first few times?
I think that some of the first few times, especially out in the community, is just talking through what is going to happen. And even, I know with some of my kids, the flushing noise can be overwhelming, that loud, sudden noise. And so having them actually practice and see what's happening before they are in the steps of the toilet training sequence, to where they understand what is happening, and then also showing them so they get to see before they start working on those steps.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That's such a great way to help prepare them as well. Like you say, when they go out in the community, it helps prepare them for things that happen, like flushing the toilet, hand dryers, little things like that, that could maybe be overwhelming before, but with the preparation you put in, so much easier for them.
Exactly. We just want it to be positive as possible, but there's going to be hiccups along the way. And that's when you just come back to the drawing board and you adjust. There may be a social story that you have to introduce to discuss whatever, you know, the meltdown may have been about, to talk through it so you can improve it on the next time.
Yeah. And coming back to, you know, sitting down, everyone talking about it, going back to that drawing board, I think that's really important, rather than maybe feeling overwhelmed with it all and giving up. Going back to that drawing board, coming up with new ideas, you could actually find the key to that student just by taking those extra few minutes to think it through.
Very true. And honestly, just asking their opinion and getting their input or why they are upset, hearing them out, it can be a game changer as well.
Definitely, because what we may think they're scared of, they may actually be scared of something else, or what they're confident with, we may not realize they're confident with. So definitely involving them, I think that's really important where possible.
Yes, I think that getting their input with that, and also getting their input of what they're willing to work towards as a positive reinforcer, is a big driving factor to help them be successful as well.
Definitely. And going back to sort of talking about being out in the community and things as well, there's sort of an ongoing, I wouldn't say dispute or argument or disagreement, maybe a conversation where people are unsure whether to put our children straight to the toilet or then the potty, then the toilet. I've had students who prefer to start on the potty, then transition, and then I've had students who prefer to go straight to the toilet. What are your sort of thoughts on both of those processes?
I've done both. It truly depends on the child. I think that if there are any physical limitations or if the student would feel more comfortable with the potty, you definitely can use a potty chair. But I like to expose them to the toilet, whether standing or sitting, even if you need a little smaller seat to go on the toilet, because that's what they're going to see in any environment that they are in.
Definitely. And I love that idea as well, where you're exposing them to what they're going to see in the environment. I've used both just like you. I sort of do prefer going direct to the toilet just because that's sort of what most of my students have found easier with the natural progression. But I also find it easier in the community as well. Like you say, they're going to be seeing a toilet in the community and having to lug around, you know, maybe a potty and things. That's not always ideal for school or family life.
Correct. And I also think while they are on that toilet, having toileting books that show them what it is like help, you know, kind of just indicate what they are to expect.
Yes, I love that. And especially as well, we've had a few students who have gone to the toilet and they sort of look at us and they're like, okay, now what? They don't really understand what the toilet's for. But having visuals like books, or even there's some really good videos on YouTube, cartoon ones, where it shows the children what to do on the toilet. And I think those are really helpful as well.
Yes, there's even songs that are about going potty, and my kids love them. So it's just a different ways to relate to them. So if they are very auditory and they love music, that may be a way to introduce that idea and help reinforce those skills that you're trying to teach in a way that they enjoy learning.
Definitely. And I think there is literally something out there for everyone, especially now with the internet, and people make what we think are maybe crazy ideas, but some of our students respond really well to those ideas as well.
You're so right. I mean, how many of us can repeat different songs after just hearing them a few times? So if that's how the kid learns, then they can repeat it to themselves. And be using that song to be successful on the toilet only helps build confidence. And that's what we want here.
Definitely. And songs are so easy as well. Like you say, once they remember those and recite them, it's easier for you because you haven't got to carry something around with you, especially if they can just recite it to themselves.
Yes, exactly.
So all these ideas are really great for maybe helping people to expand how they're going to be toilet training students and children. But a common question that I get asked, and it's usually when people are at the end of their tether and they just don't know, how long should I be toilet training for before we decide maybe the child isn't ready yet? What would you say, maybe a time limit, or is there a sign maybe that they're not quite ready yet?
I think that some of the signs that you could look at that they are not ready yet is if you see that they cannot tell you when they are wet or need to go to the bathroom, even after working on it for a period of, say, 2 to 4 weeks, or they are not communicating, whether by pictures or verbally, of the steps that are needed, like they aren't showing any response. But I feel like persistence is the biggest factor and the biggest key of success, whether they are young or they are older. And that is across, you know, every environment. That said, if the kid's working on potty training, they're working on it at home and at school for several days. But if they are not ready and you are having resistance, maybe wait a little longer, but don't exhaust it and not come back to it eventually.
I agree 100% with all those things. Sometimes maybe it can just be that we maybe stress ourselves so much because we just want this to be so positive, that backing off for maybe a couple of weeks and then coming back to it
sometimes that's all that's needed as well. It's just a little break and then come back to it.
True. And at the point that the parents or the child are frustrated with it, it may be time to walk away. But I would just encourage any of your listeners to not give up on it forever. Just make sure and come back to it with a positive attitude at the right time.
Definitely. I think that's a great reminder for them. And I know one of the main keys for success for toilet training, definitely for us anyway, I don't know whether for you, is about having a toileting routine that the student can really understand and know what they're doing with.
Exactly. Both being able to model it and have success with it definitely helps drive that positive feeling about it.
Definitely. And I think one of the things with our students that works really well is that when they know what to expect, what's coming next, what's expected of them. And do you sort of have maybe an example or some tips for how people can set up a successful toileting routine?
Sure. I would definitely say that using a timer, I love a good visual timer that kids can see, especially in the beginning, to know that, you know, when the red or the color is out, it's time to go to the bathroom again, and they have like an auditory and a visual stimulation to go. Also just using short positive phrases about toileting, like let's go potty, time to go potty, or great job going potty, or now let's flush, so that kids are seeing the positive aspects of toileting in our verbiage definitely helps with going to the bathroom and that process. And then just kind of the seven steps that we focus on is walking to the bathroom, whether that's in the same classroom as yours or, you know, down the hallway, then the actual pulling down of the pants, pulling down the underwear, sitting on the potty. And we want that to be a positive time. And you may need to set a timer for that too, whether they void in the potty or not. When the timer goes off, they can get back up, but we want them to have time to sit there. And then working on pulling those clothes back up and flushing the potty and washing their hands to go back to class. And that routine over and over again, and working on those tactile things of pulling up and pulling down, understanding that vocabulary, are definitely things. And while they are sitting on the potty, that they have some activities that they enjoy doing, whether that's reading potty books, or playing with some puzzles, or, you know, using a tablet if need be, to where they are having a time that is positive during that period. And then if they do void in the potty, you're overly excited and definitely give them some small reward that they can associate that behavior is a positive reinforcement with the reward. So those are just some of the steps that we use and we find successful.
I love the seven steps that you use just because they're sort of short and sweet, but relevant and important. So I'm a huge believer in less is more. And your seven steps are literally that. They're just what the student needs or the child needs in order to be successful without overwhelming them with too much as well.
Yeah, exactly. We try to weed out the other little things. But just focusing on those bare minimum, and you can add more in as, you know, they become more successful, but just trying to help them bridge this and meet this goal.
Yes, definitely. Those are great reasons as well. And what I particularly like is all the different things you've mentioned that can really help our students and children be more successful with toilet training. Like you mentioned, the timers, the visuals. Would you say there's sort of a starter pack for toilet training? Like, what would you say are the must-haves that you should have ready for starting toilet training with anyone?
Sure. Some of the toilet training would be a stool so that they have easy access to the toilet, no matter if it is a small one or a tall one. You know, a potty chair like we talked about earlier, if need be. Lots of underwear. Different potty books to help build up that potty vocabulary and just awareness of what to expect, using lots of visuals such as the visual schedules and the toileting activities, some cleaning supplies, because accidents will happen and that is okay, and not to get mad at them when those things do, and those timers and prizes for whenever they do void in the toilet.
That is a fantastic list. And I know that is like the perfect starter pack. I just wanted to pick up on one thing where you said about accidents and how it's really important to try not to get too hung up and negative on these. What would you say are some of the best ways that you can react to the situation and help a student when they have an accident in order to keep this positive?
Well, just knowing that accidents are going to happen and not using negative language when it does, encouraging them to go sit on the potty, to finish voiding into the toilet to where they can associate that's where they need to go to the bathroom, and just trying to use short phrases to encourage that behavior. It may be frustrating to you, but really kind of faking it till you make it with them to help so that they don't feel disappointed in themselves with toileting, because the last thing we want them to do is to feel sad or depressed about going potty to where they may regress and think they can't do it at all. But some positive and short phrases would be just like, now let's go potty, or next time we need to go pee pee in the potty. When you sit on the potty, that's when we need to, you know, void, or great job going potty. Just keeping it short and sweet, but redirecting your phrases towards going to the potty in the bathroom.
Yeah, and definitely, I think, again, that whole less is more approach is really helpful here, where we're not overwhelming them and things. And like you say, as much as we may find it sort of stressful, or maybe we sort of get disappointed in ourselves that maybe we feel like we're not helping them enough, I always try and say to people, imagine how you would feel if someone shouted at you for having an accident, or if you tripped over in the classroom, imagine how you would feel if someone maybe was negative to you. And I think that helps us realize as well that our students and children are trying their best, and that little bit of positive reinforcement can go really far with them and help them for next time as well.
Exactly. I think that we almost have to be over exaggerated with our excitement for kids to continue to feel successful and feel like they want to keep going, especially when they do have frequent accidents that aren't in the potty.
Definitely. I really agree with that. And I think I've lost count how many times I've cheered in the bathroom with our students, you know, when they are going to the toilet and things, just because if that's what works, I will happily cheer in that bathroom every day.
Exactly. Me too, sister.
If we've got to do it, that I'm all down with that. I'm okay, so long as it gets them through it.
We just want them to master those goals and be successful, whatever we have to do to get them there.
Definitely. And we have done some crazy things over the years, but all the students have come out the other end and so happy. And I think there's something really special about being able to sit back after that toilet training is done and watch them become independent with going to the toilet and things like that as well.
Absolutely. And they also just have this sense of pride and accomplishment when they do finally get it and they get to go to the bathroom with their peers. And so I think that it makes it worth it, all those tough moments and all those cleaning supplies we go through.
It really does. It's so worth it. And I sort of think how we sort of forget, once they have toilet training, once we see how proud they are, we forget how hard it was, because now we can just see them blossoming and going off. And it's like they grow up overnight. It's like they toilet trained and all of a sudden they grow up and mature in front of you.
Exactly.
So before we finish today, I just have a few questions from my audience that they've sent in today, if you are ready for some of those questions.
Sure thing. Let's go.
So Lisa has a question about boys, and she actually teaches the same age group that you do. And her question is, when you are teaching boys about toilet training, do you teach them to sit or stand when they pee?
In the first few days of training, I try to get them just to sit to where they are learning that they can pee and poop in the same way. But if that isn't taking, they definitely can stand up and work on aiming, but sometimes that's a little more challenging. So as we try to introduce with sitting first and just having them use the bathroom or void that way. And then after a few days, if that does not work, then we do move on to standing. But sometimes that can be even more messy.
Yes, definitely. We are the same. And I think it's like we've sort of been saying throughout this episode how it's very much dependent on the individual as well. Some will automatically prefer to stand, whereas others will prefer to start with sitting and then just naturally progress from there as well.
Yes, it does depend on the child, but I would say I would try sitting first.
We usually start with sitting just because I'm not quite brave enough to start with standing yet.
Exactly. I feel you there.
So our next question is from Scott, and he has a question about constipation and how do you toilet train if a child is suffering from constipation and they try to avoid going for a poo?
Ooh, that is a great question. I think that in the beginning we focus more on and want them to pee in the toilet, and that's where we're focusing. But when constipation or just the fear of pooping in the toilet happens, and it does, I think that just continuing to have the conversation and talk to them about it, but maybe even giving them juice or things that may help feed them up can help with that. And also, just as they have that sensation that they need to, catching them in the act and having them sit and finish on the toilet so that they can kind of build their confidence and see that it is okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with building confidence. And if Scott is listening now and this is something that is ongoing, I would probably maybe look at diet and things like that to see why they're so constipated and things like that. That's quite a tricky question, especially when we don't know much more about the individual student as well.
That is true.
So our next question is from Amanda, and she is a mum of an autistic child. They have just started toilet training. Toilet training a day is very successful, but not at night. What would your recommendations be for helping the child at nighttime?
Well, if they've got it during the day, well done, and keep up the good work. Nighttime is sort of the tricky part, and learning to hold, you know, urination throughout that long period of sleep. But some things that I would consider is limiting the amount of liquids that they have a certain period at night. So stay after supper or after, say, 6 p.m., they do not have any more liquid to where they're not needing to go throughout the night, but also encouraging them to go to the restroom and void in the toilet before actually getting in bed, like right before they go to sleep, to where they're emptying out their bladder before bedtime. And if those things aren't helping, then, you know, letting him wear a pull-up until you notice that he is or they are staying dry throughout the evening.
Those are great tips. And I know that nighttime is a lot trickier, but like you say, well done for being toilet trained in the day. That's a huge starting point. And I'm sure nighttime won't be too far behind. I think it's pretty normal for many of our children to get the day quicker than they get the night.
Exactly. I know my little boy did too. So you're doing a great job, Mama. So keep it up.
Definitely. She is doing brilliant. So one of the questions I received, and I get this question a lot, and I have quite a weak stomach. I recently done a podcast episode on this, and it's about smearing. And a lot of parents and teachers write in saying that once their student or child has been toilet trained, they're actually seeing a lot more smearing behaviors. What advice could you offer them?
I think that smearing is one of those things that I think that social stories can definitely be a starting point for when those things are happening, and also giving them other alternatives to where they can have some sensory outputs, you know, letting them maybe play with different types of Play-Doh or things that they can have in their hands instead to sort of distract them, and then quickly having that transition period be as short as possible for cleanup and change so that there's less time for that to happen.
Yeah, I agree with all of those. And a lot of the times with my students, it's been things like they're craving the sensory aspect of it, and we introduce a lot of sensory traits. But I feel, well, I know how awful Samirin can be for us to try and deal with.
Yes, it's never fun to walk into, for sure.
No, I've had a few nightmares in my time of doing this. And I do have the weak stomach. I'm not very good at that. So one final question from my audience today, and this is from Lisa, and it's all about rewards. So do you encourage rewards when the individual has used the toilet? If so, how and when do you reward, and what rewards do you think work best?
Sure. Lisa, this is a great question, and I'm so glad you brought it up. I think that during those first few days of intense potty training, the rewards can be anything that are like small edible things or even larger toys if they are like from the Dollar Tree. I'm not, when I say large, I don't mean, you know, very expensive, but things that the kids prefer that they're willing to work for. But as sort of a maintenance, as they continue to get better at it, I would use, or what we have used, are almost token charts to where we have them put stickers, because most kids love stickers, and stickers that they prefer, find some that they, with characters or things that they like, if you prefer. But every time they void in the toilet successfully, they put a sticker on that day to where you're keeping track of how many times they are peeing and pooping, but also it serves as a positive reinforcement for the kid. And you can also still do little edibles like an M&M or a goldfish or a Cheerio or whatever things are that they like. But I definitely have found a lot of value in using a weekly chart for kids to put stickers on, which serves as a positive reward and a visual representation of their success. And I actually have a freebie in my Teachers Pay Teachers store for this. Parents and teachers can download if they want to.
That's great. And I will get the link off you for that as well, so we can put that in the show notes so everyone can head over and download that directly. That was a great question by Lisa. I do have one follow-up question, and this is one I was surprised nobody asked, because it's a common one that gets brought up a lot. And it's, when do you start to wean off the rewards?
Well, I think that you wean off of them just like we do with some of our other token boards. Instead of getting a sticker every time that they void, you know, you get a sticker if they have voided every day for the whole day or maybe half the day, to where they're slowly having less of the stickers to get the rewards. But, you know, that would be a process over a few weeks to where that whole reward system can be weaned out.
That's great. And I think, like you say, that sort of slow, natural progression of weaning off, that helps it still stay relevant and helps them continue with the positive experience while slowly backing away from it as well.
Exactly. We just want them to almost not even think about by the end of it that they needed all of these assistants. It's kind of like the hierarchy of prompts. We're just fading them away to where they are the most independent through the process.
I really like that, especially when you say, you know, with the prompts as well, that's something that we're all sort of familiar with. So being able to transfer that to toilet training rewards helps us understand it a little bit easier of how we should be weaning as well.
Exactly. That's something that's definitely has to be gone over with our paraprofessionals in our classroom, just, you know, how and why we need the prompts to begin with and how we need to fade them off so that they can be independent, especially with toilet training.
Yes. And working together as a team and making sure everyone's on the same page, I think that's really important for everyone involved as well.
For sure.
So those are all my questions today from the audience. Thank you for coming on today, Dawn. I really appreciate it. Before we go, is there one advice that you would offer my audience that you think is best for toilet training? What's one thing that you could offer them?
If I can offer just one piece of advice, is just to start off strong and know that it is a commitment of your time and your energy, but it is so worth it and rewarding to see them be successful, and just make sure and encourage those kids and be as positive as possible.
I really like that. Definitely the positive aspect as well. Now, where can my audience find you? Because I know you have a fantastic blog post about toilet training, which I'll link to, but where else can they find you?
Yes, I'm on all social medias and I have a blog. So it's cultivatingexceptionalminds.com. And then on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and on Teachers Pay Teachers, it's just at Cultivating Exceptional Minds all together. And there you'll find me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I will get all those links together, put them in the show notes as well, so everyone can find you really easy and get access to those resources you have. Thank you so much for coming on today, Dawn, and sharing everything with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Nikki.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast interview with Dawn, where we talked all things toilet training. Don't forget to head on over to the show notes, where you can find links to Dawn's blog post all about toilet training, her free resource, and some other great links where you can find Dawn and other resources that are helpful for toilet training. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.